Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center, and I have the privilege and honor of welcoming you to tonight's show, which is all about everyone's personal experiences. Everyone has a story to share, and we would love, urge, and plead for you to call in to share your stories, your questions, personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking. We will explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate those sacred experiences into our daily lives. Also, as co-hosts tonight are Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation, certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, as well as Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. And every time we come on to this program, which is once a month on the fourth Thursday of the month, we pray that we have good callers, that we have it doesn't have to be something, you know, over the moon that would compare to someone else's experience, but just something meaningful that you can bring to the table for the many listeners, tens of thousands of listeners to this program. So please call us at 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And let's make this a very meaningful, helpful, supportive conversation. Hi, Betty and Janet.
Hello. And I think when you said good callers, you mean callers who have a story they want to share with us.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Just the callers make the program what
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. So we do pray for callers for sure.
That's right.
But you won't have to hear us all the time.
Yeah, I didn't mean to have the judgment in it.
No, I know you didn't.
That's right. Always have wonderful people call in and share.
We do. So we just want them to call.
Right. And sometimes they call in and have a comment or a question about someone else's experience who had just been on with us. So
yes, and I think it's very important not to think that your experience isn't worthy of telling.
Oh,
that's very, very important. I mean, you know, I've gone through that. That's why I say that. So, but Janet, what is your focus tonight? Do you have some kind of thing to aim for or talk
about?
Yeah,
I do. I just, I was this morning, you know, when I was kind of doing a little mini meditation and, you know, I always think about what is the show going to be about? And I always kind of try to focus on, you know, for whoever's going to come through or anything going on. And it's interesting because I kept hearing in my head, you know, that I need to tell the listeners that, you know, when they want to connect with their loved ones to work on listening in a new sense. And it sounds kind of strange, but, you know, I always tell people to pay attention. That's kind of, you know, one of my taglines. I always say that, you know, our loved ones are around us, always pay attention. But it's kind of like listening in a new way or being aware, finding that awareness in a new way. And it was kind of like what they were showing me was, you know, when you go to over friend's house or friends come over to your house and after they leave, you still feel their energy. You still feel that essence of them around you and they're not there anymore, but it's like they left an imprint behind. And I think that, you know, it's kind of the same way when a loved one comes through and just kind of drops in, if you're busy and or you're thinking about them and you miss them and all of a sudden you have that feeling and you're thinking, okay, now did they really come through? Am I really connecting? Did I really hear that? Or did I really feel that? Or, you know, and there's so much going on with that, if you just stop and really just kind of focus on their awareness, then you listen, you can sometimes get a message and maybe it's not going to come through, you know, where you can hear it in your ears. Sometimes you can, but it might just come through your soul. And all of a sudden you're, you know, you have this new sense of awareness around you about a loved one and it stays with you. And it's kind of like, you know, after your friends leave, there's still that essence there and there's still energy there. And it kind of just gives you that, you know, warm feeling. And what that's doing is it's kind of opening you up. It's making you more aware for next time. Because if they can come through, you know, and you felt them or you heard them, then they're going to come through again because they know they got through. So now you're open a little bit more. And if you just keep paying attention, you know, your intuition starts opening up a little more, you know, and you start getting a feeling more often or a knowing. And it's just, you need to just trust that. And I mean, you know, there's so many extraordinary stories that come through here. I mean, every story you hear, you know, sometimes at the end of the night, I just sit here and, you know, I'm like amazed about, you know, how wonderful someone had an experience, how wonderful their experience was. And at the same time, I'm thinking, how many more are out there, you know, that we don't even know about? And how cool is that, that people are really paying attention, they really understand that connection, and that they're receiving that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think, yeah, that's wonderful, Janet. And I was just looking today at Christopher Bache's comment in Dark Night, Early Dawn, when he said, Western thought has committed itself to a vision of reality that is based almost entirely on the daylight world of ordinary states of consciousness. So we have been living for mm-hmm. centuries in a world in which we have called reality something that is based entirely on the left brain and ordinary states of consciousness, not using the right brain and heart and cosmic consciousness to have connection with or the spirits around us, as you were describing. So what you're saying is really helpful for us to learn how to be open to something other than the ordinary world, ordinary consciousness, as we call it. It's not ordinary, but, you know, it's the day-to-day kind of consciousness without really being aware that all of these other levels of reality exist right around us. As you say, we pay attention and open up to it. But I think it's so important for us to know that we really are, our definition of reality, that is pretty much as a culture, is not based on very much experience at all with the spirit world.
That reminds me, I think you had, I'm not sure if it was in The Miracle of Death, but I have some sense of you using the phrase in telling one of your experiences about you were addicted to ordinary consciousness.
Oh, well, that's a good thing, Kim. I mean, it's an important aspect, is that I all my life wanted to do what you say, Janet, be open and pay attention and actually have experiences with the spirit world. But in order to try to understand the world, I went to university and there it was all left brain, basically. And so I did what I could. And I wrote down, when I came in contact with Carl Jung, I wrote down my dreams. I worked with the symbols. It was so important. But after our son died, I had an experience. I was having difficulty actually controlling my left brain, because much to my surprise, I realized that while I did not consciously accept that the left brain was more important, I had been addicted by my university studies on an unconscious level. It was there, that fiction of its superiority. And so one of the visions that I had after our son died was I was in a circle of women, and they were shamanesses from around the world. And I went through a process of revealing to myself, or they revealed to me, that I was addicted to ordinary consciousness, because I kept thinking, I was having incredible experiences and I was saying to myself, well, this is nothing. You know, I wish if I could just have more, then I'd believe it. If I could just have more. And I realized I was like a drunk at a bar saying, just one more drink and I'll be fine. So that was one of the most extraordinary experiences for me, to realize that I, on some level, had accepted ordinary reality as my culture had defined it, and was so afraid and judgmental that there could be anything else. So yeah, they taught me I was addicted to ordinary consciousness, and that in fact our Western culture is also addicted to ordinary consciousness.
Yes. That's it. I was just going to say that exact thing, is that Betty, I think the whole culture is. And I mean, and I even felt like that too, where, you know, when I was having these visions and all these things coming through, I wanted more. It's, you know, give me more. That's not enough. I mean, you know, you're showing me this, or you're, you know, someone would, like when someone appeared that time at the end of my bed, it's like, okay, well, that was great. But what are you going to show me now tomorrow? And what am I going to get? You know, and it was like, it was always more and more. And I had to learn to settle down, and I had to learn to, you know, take a step back and say, okay, where was I at when this was happening? What space was I within, you know, and what was I listening to, and what was I doing? And normally it always came back that I would be in this comfortable, calming place that I've learned to go to, you know, fairly easy. And I can put myself in there. It's kind of like, you know, it's a meditative state, I guess. It's not, you know, hypnosis, but it's a place that I can, you know, connect into. And I think that, you know, we all have that. We do not tap into our true selves. I mean, we always, you know, we're living in reality, exactly what you said. We're just these, you know, bodies and these minds and these brains and just living in reality. But when we stop and we take a breath and we go take a step back and say, wow, there is so much more to us than we can even imagine. And we have to allow it to start coming through, then we begin to see in what direction we're going to walk. And a lot of times that happens, of course, after we lose a loved one. When you lose a loved one, all of a sudden, you know, it throws you into this whole different space, and you're, you know, you're totally like off kilter. And so it's kind of putting you out of your comfort zone. And now you're in this new space that you have to learn to live in. And you don't want to, you didn't want to, you don't want to now, but you know that you have to. And when that happens, then you start to have these different, you know, things start coming to you differently. And I think that's where you start, there's like a little crack that opens up. And all of a sudden, you know, you're able to connect a little differently. Or, you know, you're in these different spaces that you weren't in before. And I think that, you know, it brings a lot of clarity, but it does take, it takes, you know, it takes you to kind of stop and say, I want this. I'm open to this. I know there's more to me, you know, and I always hope that people who listen are thinking, you know what, you're right. I have this ability. We all have this ability. We just have it all in our own unique way. And it doesn't mean one is better than the other. It doesn't mean somebody's way ahead of you than someone else. It just means that you're in this place and, you know, this person's in that place. And then we just keep moving forward and experiencing all these different things. And I think, you know, like you said, living in the reality, it's you could just, like, when something was coming through, it is almost like, you know, wanting to keep doing it. You know, just it's almost like you become obsessed, like, I want more. You know, they came through. Well, what else? Or why didn't they come through today? You know, and you have to, you know, stop yourself and say, no, I'm grateful for today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I am going to be grateful all day for my experience today. And I think that that's really important if we look at it from that angle. But you're right, Betty.
Yeah, exactly. I think so too. And I'm thinking, you know, you said that so often it is that it's when something extraordinarily tragic happens to us that we're so filled with emotion. And if we don't allow that emotion to find a way to express itself, and have us listen and hear it and experience it, of course, we're going to be ill. And Jung said it so well. I love this statement by him. He said, to the extent that I manage to translate the emotions into images, that is to say, define the images which were created in the emotions or concealed in the emotions, I was inwardly calmed and reassured. Had I left those images hidden in the emotions, I might have been torn to pieces by them. And that's very, very important. I've told this story before, but when our son was dying, we were told he would probably pass within the hour, my husband Ishwan and I were standing there, and I took my husband's hand, and I literally could feel the energy just shooting through his arm to me. And I thought, he's going to have a heart attack. Those were raw emotions that he didn't know what to do with. And they were just ripping him apart. And I said to him, Ishwan, if we are called on to do this. We can do it. Now, I don't know where that came from me, but he was the one doing that with me. But at any rate, later he told me that he really thought he might have a heart attack. The emotions were so strong. But what happened is that they reached an intensity and then just exploded into images. And he saw Pishti sit up in bed, reach for a radiant dove with a ball of fire and put it in his heart. And then he lay back down. And then Ishvan was with him and felt the connection of love. He said, I didn't even concern myself with whether he would live or die because I knew he would always be alive, that the love was always present. So this is, it's an absolutely incredible example of being torn up by emotions. And maybe he would have had a heart attack had those emotions not been allowed to shape themselves into images that healed him. He was okay with whatever happened at that point.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And you're right. It's that emotional connection and allowing it to be released. You know, I think that's a big thing.
And I think that could be understood, you know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember more of that. They're just so beautiful.
More of that vision,
just,
yes.
Just of his explanation about it didn't matter whether he lived or died because he knew that it was eternal and they could never be separated.
It's that's absolutely. Well, the rest of the vision beautiful. Is what you're thinking of is that he then saw Pishti, our son, standing on a mountain at Machu Picchu, and he was reaching with one hand up to the heavens, and the other hand he was stretching down. He himself became a bridge, and my husband understood completely that it was a living bridge, that those we love who go to the other side are living bridges between that dimension and this dimension, if we can, as you say, Janet, be open to it and pay attention. And that's when it was so powerful to feel that love that was eternal, that as Kim said, he no longer was concerned. It wasn't a concern at all whether he lived or died, which was the concern when he started out that hour, but it was eternal. He knew there would be no way. He was always alive. The love was always present. But if he couldn't have experienced that, I think he might have had a heart attack for sure. Mm-hmm. But that experience of knowing on another level outside of ordinary consciousness made the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know that what amazes me about that too is through all that emotion, he had such clarity. You know, it was so clear to him. And it was just this experience that he was living in with all of the emotion. And it's like beautiful and painful at the same time, but it was a very sacred moment and a sacred experience. And for him to have that and for you to see that and remember that, I mean, that's really powerful.
It's very, very powerful. And he was not, as I've said several times on the program, he was very tolerant and loving toward me with my interest. But it wasn't until Pishti's death, and he had a vision that it was coming, but it was just totally gone after he had it, and he didn't remember it until we got the call from the hospital. But it was afterwards, like that kind of thing so changed him, because to have contact and experience that other reality, the spirit sacred reality, changed him forever. Mm-hmm. He was not the same person.
And some sort of understanding.
Yeah, with the
with that vision in the office, just like, oh, that's right. It's almost time for you to do this.
Yes, that's Kim is referring to 2 weeks before Pishti's accident. Ishvan was working in his office, which is here in our home. And he suddenly had a vision of Pishti's car off on the side of the freeway with his body superimposed on it. And he knew he was dead because the superimposition showed two dimensions. And he heard himself say, oh, that's right, Pishti. It's almost time for you to do this. And Pishti said, that's right, Dad. I'll be out of the house for a little while. And then Ishvan became unconscious of it. He didn't tell me about the vision until Pishti actually did die, because there were hopes that maybe he could survive. And Ishvan tried to have hopes too, but that vision was there in a way saying, no, he will be on the other side. And we didn't know what that meant. I'll be out of the house for a little while. But after, on the day after his memorial, we experienced him. His consciousness was present.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. And you know that it was interesting the way you just shared that story, because I had a similar experience where I was just reading one evening, you know, and I was all curled up and reading. And I think I have this in my book. And basically the spirits came to me and they were like, okay, it's almost time. You know, we're getting ready. You know, we're going to have a party farm. And it was the strangest thing. And I literally like dropped my book and I just like froze, because I knew that there were spirits around me gathering, letting me know someone was going to pass soon, and they were going to welcome them over, and they were letting me know. And I just, I mean, it was, you know, kind of towards, I guess more at the beginning when I was having so many experiences. And I basically made my husband drive me around that night to every family member that I knew. And we just, you know, I made him drive by, because I just was for sure thinking, there's going to be an ambulance. I know there's somebody going to be in front of the house. I just know it. And I made him drive me around. And then finally I just said, just drive. And then as soon as it calmed down, I'm like, okay, it's over. It's time. And I let go and we went back. And then after that, I found out the next morning, you know, someone had passed that we knew. And it was the strangest feeling, but it was almost, it was like the spirit was just letting me know, like, you remember this moment. And it was so crowded. It was like when, you know, picture yourself in an elevator when it's super packed and so many people and it's just person to person. And I had to get out of the house. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many people here. There's so many spirits. I can't even be in my home. And I remember that forever, because it stuck with me that how beautiful that when this person crossed, there were going to be all these people. It's like, they're going to have a party farm. It's like to welcome them over, you know, come on over, it's your turn. And it was just so amazing that I think it stayed with me. Well, to this day, I still feel that I can still, you know, get that, but it's like, they know, or someone knows, they're letting you know. And so it's not always, you know, we think everything is random or it's going to happen and it doesn't mean it is, doesn't mean it isn't. But it just was really interesting to get it from that perspective of spirit.
Mm, that is incredible and such a wonderful image to hold, that when someone is dying, there are many loved ones on the other side celebrating birth into the other world.
Right.
So wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Janet.
Sure.
I'd like to have another invitation to our wonderful audience to please call in and join in this conversation, 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And a little Brené Brown from Daring Greatly, how the courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead, says, the willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time.
I love that.
I do too.
Yes, I do too. I love that.
When we show up and we share something, even if it makes us feel vulnerable, it intensifies the sacred understanding of it, actually. But Janet, I wanted to say, when you said, you know, it's almost time, when our son was in the hospital and they had told us that on a particular day they would take all of the instruments, all the machines off, except for the ventilator, and to see if he could live. And we would know on that day. And so, of course, we were pretty intense. But just before I woke up, I had so many spirits gathering around me and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I didn't know. It sounded like it was a celebration. So I thought, are we going to find out that, are we ready to know he will live? And so his girlfriend and my husband and I went to the hospital the next day, and I told them the dream. And I said, but we've got to be careful, because the dream has a different perspective than we do. They were celebrating, but we don't know whether it's that he's going to live or die. And then when we were there, it was clear that he would die. And I just still remember his girlfriend just almost passed out. My husband caught her. It was just like, she had so many hopes. But there were all these people to let me know, all these spirits. There's someone calling?
Yes, we have Crystal Brooks on the phone from New Hampshire. Thank you, Crystal, for calling in this evening.
Hi. I just had a few questions for you guys.
Okay.
So this might sound weird, maybe not to you guys, but ever since my son died tragically, I've been, it took about like 3 weeks, and it started building up. First it was like, it seemed like rays, and then like swatches, like dark gray swatches on the walls, which I guess could be energy. And they're manifesting in my home at night into figures. So I'm having a major problem. Like, I don't know, like, what happened. I've had no history of any mental illness, and I felt paralyzed. I woke up near my closet. I don't sleepwalk across my bedroom. My sheets were all torn up. I had no cats at the time. So I just want to know, like, what's going on, and if my son is using these creepy things to communicate, or he was 3 and a half.
He was wearing a hat? Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, 3 and a half. I gotcha. Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, not being there, I can't say exactly what's happening. I don't know. But I can say that a lot of times spirit does manifest in a lot of different ways. And, you know, the thing is that a lot of times, you know, you can become fearful, or, you know, because we don't know, you know, when something's unknown, you don't always know what's going on. But I think what you could do is ask him to come through in a way that you would be more comfortable, or in a way that you would understand. And, you know, you can ask them for something like that and try to see if it can change that energy a little bit, that maybe, you know, if he's trying to get through and then you're being open, but you're, you know, going through a lot, obviously there's a lot happening and it's emotional. Sometimes that can stir up the energy and, you know, a lot of little things can happen. But I think that, you know, maybe it's one of the ways that he's trying to come through, or someone that's with him are trying to come through to let you know that, you know, he's okay, that he's safe. And maybe that's, you know, if you ask for him to come through in a different way, or try to be more specific, or to ask him, you know, can you come through during the day, or I'd prefer this, or maybe, you know, if when you can't sleep, if you're awake, and just say, you know, can you just send me, you know, a ball of light, or, you know, come up with something that's more comforting to you. That might be a good way to, you know, a good area to go into, because, you know, it does happen where a lot of times you can get some strange things. I've had a lot of strange things that have happened that have come through, you know, in my house and that, but I just usually say, okay, you know, I would prefer if you try to come through in a way that I will understand, so that I can, you know, gather something out of it that's going to be helpful to me, and to recognize that you're coming through. So, I mean, you know, they, like I said, spirits come through in all different ways. So, you know, if you just kind of, you know, maybe talk to him and ask, you know, or if it's somebody coming through for him, just say, you know, could you tell me who you are, you know, and, you know, I'm, you know, surround yourself in light, and just kind of try to focus on it that way. You know, maybe you can find something that will come through that will make more sense to you. Does that make sense?
I've done it all. The lighting, the smudging, and, you know, it started with rays, then extraterrestrial activity, and then demonic. They weren't demons. I guess somebody else told me they're trying to be demons, like they were just miserable as the living, but, you know, it's terrifying. And I see, like, maybe doppelgangers of my son in my home, and my vents, I guess, could be the portals, because I have the smoke detectors are completely unplugged in my ceilings and walls. The maintenance, they can't figure this out. There's nothing dropped in the vents. And our mirrors and reflections portals, because that's where I see them more clear at night, past 9:30.
Hmm. Well, the interesting thing when you said Doppler gangers, I wanted to mention something, is their spirit can show up. It can be a residual energy. So they can walk. Do they walk the same path? Do you see it in the same way all the time? Or like where he would, you know, areas he would go into? Do you ever see that?
I moved out of my bedroom and I literally sleep under my son's urn. And my baby, his room started getting worse. The baby monitors catch it. I catch it, but it's extraterrestrials. It's like demonic entities, kind of. And I've seen I have pictures and videos live. It's like, you know, this human figure, like, looks like a god that they, you know, show us as a human, or an antichrist, I guess it could be. And there's heads, there's, you know, like I said, these alien things. They're on my balcony. I, you know, look out the window in the living room, and there are these nun-looking things. They're scared, like, they have hoods, but they look like nuns with wings. Like, I'm not messing with you. I have tons of proof, and they're clear. I don't know. Can mediumship, I think you guys said it happens with a sudden death, and when I got, like, I felt paralyzed. Like, do you think that's what happened to me?
That I don't know. I mean, I don't know, you know, the whole story, so I can't really judge or say. All I can say is that it just sounds like, I mean, yes, I mean, you obviously have something going on there, but I just feel like maybe, you know, I don't know if part of it has to do with just the energy that's going on. I don't know what to tell you on this one, because I don't know exactly what's happening, you know, and I can't see it, so I can't say, but I'm just like trying to think of what you're saying. A lot of it to me has to do with the energy. And I just feel like changing the energy and asking, you know, and talking to him and talking to that energy and telling them, you know, okay, you know, I see you. It's time for you to move on. You can do something like that. Sometimes that can help.
I tried to send them to the light. I got, you know, I went as far as, you know, the rosary beads. Someone, you know, their daughter translated what they were saying as prayer. I spoke to the Bible. I got a priest. I got a medium. You know, I was stern with them to tell them to get out of my home. And, you know, and I asked my son last night, can you, you know, wiggle the balloon twice? The only balloon that's lasted 4 months. The other one's deflated within 2 weeks. And he did that, and a toy knocked over twice. He didn't set them off, but it knocked over. And I don't know, like, people are like, you must have some special ability. Like, I don't know if, like, because they can see it. Once I see the splotches during the day, I can put my cameras on it, and you can see them more clear. But I can see maybe it's energy now, because this started almost a month after he passed away. And, you know, I was clear mindset. I had almost like heart attack symptoms. It was the night before his anniversary. I was calm. I ate and I hydrated. And it was like a severe panic attack. And I felt someone touch me. There's just so much crazy stuff, and it's getting worse.
Well, you know who would be good for this? I know who you should look up. Lloyd Auerbach. He's a parapsychologist, and he deals with a lot of different things like this. And he would be able to probably give you some direction, more direction than I could give you on this, because he does, you know, I know in the past he's gone to people's homes. So I think look up Lloyd, L-O-Y-D, Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-K, I think it is.
H.
Yeah.
H, B-A-C-H. I'm sorry.
So
L-O-I-D.
No,
L-O-Y-D. Lloyd. Okay, His name is Lloyd.
And he's with Forever
Family. That sounds formal. Okay.
Yeah, he's really, really good. He's really nice, and he's really good, and I really think he would be able to help you to some degree, because he does deal with a lot of different situations kind of like this. So I would
Lloyd Hourglass.
No, A U E R B A C H.
And Janet,
I think he's on the Forever Family website. Yeah, I think you could go to foreverfamily.com, and you would find him on there, and then you could connect through there.
Okay, I was gonna say his name felt like really simple the other way. Okay, so Lloyd Auerbach, okay, and will he charge a ton? Because I'm broke. Like, is he still nonprofit, or?
Well, he can email with you back and forth. I know that's free. I have no idea how he works if he would come to your home. I don't know how that works, but I do know that he would email you back, and then, you know, you can go from there, and he could give you some direction for sure. So I think he would definitely be able to, you know, be of some assistance for you in this area.
That's right, Janet. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for calling in this evening. We're so supportive of what you're going through, and you will find the right assistance to to heal and get to the next level. So thank you very much for calling tonight.
Thank you so much for your advice. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lloyd probably... that's okay. I'm sorry, Janet.
No, go ahead.
Lloyd probably has plenty of videos, too. He's done a lot, and I don't know if he still has his podcast, if he had revived it after a bit, or he's probably a guest on plenty of people's, but he would have a lot of information of so many different kinds.
Yeah, that was excellent, Janet. He would be the person. I must admit that it was at a high frequency, and I could not understand much of what she said. I'm so glad, Janet, that you came through, because I can't, and Kim, I it was a very high frequency.
There seemed to be distortion. Yeah, I don't know if it was a cell phone, so, if it was in the car or something. But
yeah,
it was
I had a hard time with it. So, well,
yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I didn't hear everything that she had said. I did miss a couple of things, but I did feel like there was, you know, if there's something going on like that, and there's like kind of, you know, the energies like that. I know Lloyd does work with people, and he would have a ton of information. He has a ton of books.
Yes.
I mean, I really like his books. I pretty much have all of them. And I like it because he comes from a different angle. You know, I come from a mediumship angle where it's energy and, you know, like if the sun or someone is trying to get through. And I know a lot of times, and I will say this, and, you know, I mean, everybody has their own situation, but I know at times there are some situations that are very unique and individual and, you know, not just, you know, it's not just kind of something by the book. Everybody's situations are unique. So with hers, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to solve whatever, you know, she wanted me to solve, because it sounded like there were many things going on.
Yeah,
I think Lloyd would be able to, you know, if they email back and forth, he might be able to get down to something and figure it out.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
I absolutely agree with you. He is the person.
That's right. And there are plenty of resources that he would have that are almost free, free.
And she definitely needs something, because that kind of energy and the structures of it can be very terrifying.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Betty, I know that, like, you know, when you have a loved one, you know, someone that, like she said, she lost them tragically. I'm like, there's an energy there. So there's, you know, and she's working within that energy. She's feeling all those emotions and all that energy. And so there could be a lot going on. So it's like, I think it would be good that he'll be able to assist her. So I'm happy about that.
Yes, that's absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
Okay. I don't remember what we were discussing beforehand, so we can just come up with something else, I guess.
I had thought of one thing when Betty was talking about that dream that she had on that particular morning with the, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Part of that was a miracle.
Yeah. Kim was telling me that. I had forgotten. It wasn't just, are you ready? A miracle. Are you ready? A miracle. And I'd forgotten the miracle part. Kim remembered it. Because they were telling me a miracle was going to happen, and he did die, but that was a miracle. And it was the book is called The Miracle of Death, and I didn't know what to name the book later, and I was sitting in the floor thinking about it, and it was in August, and then we didn't, in California, hardly ever hear thunder in August. And when I said, I looked at that vision, and I said, you know, Kim, what I really should call the book is A Miracle, The Miracle of Death. And it started thundering, and it thundered for about 20 minutes.
Whoa.
And because I was looking precisely at that dream, are you ready? A miracle. And are we ready to really understand death as a miracle?
And as the connector.
And the connector, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's the connection, as Janet is always saying. There's a connection there. We just have to be attentive.
Mm-hmm. And like Janet was saying in the beginning of when she was talking about take a breath, step back, pay attention and all this stuff. And that's the core of what we're trying to support here, is those direct experiences and nurturing our abilities. And it's wonderful. We have Mercedes from New York City on the phone. Hi, Mercedes.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I'll try to explain what's going on. I hope I'm able to before I start crying. It's kind of a question, maybe advice. So my mom, who I was very close to, passed away. It'll be 2 years in January. January 2025 would be 2 years. We lived together. We were very close. We were born on the same day. She passed away. She had complications from Parkinson's, but I feel really badly. And I took care of her, but I also had a home health aide for her. I feel like she was very well cared for, but when the time came, I had no idea because she had been through many surgeries throughout her life, and she always made it. So when this happened, there was a point where the doctor, they wanted to give her a feeding tube. That didn't happen because she ended up getting COVID while at the hospital. And I was really upset about that because I took care of her throughout the entire pandemic. And like this house, it was like an operating room. She didn't get COVID. She got her vaccinations. But then she got it in the hospital, so they had to postpone putting in the feeding tube, which I never understood because they said it was because they didn't have the special cleaning crew, I guess, for the operating room. I feel like that was an excuse. But anyway, she didn't get the tube on time. Then she started deteriorating. There was a point where the doctors did say she may not make it. I didn't believe them because she made it through so many things, and I had seen her even worse than she was then. So she passed. I was holding her hand when she passed. It was just her and I in the room. But I feel badly because I wasn't talking to her. I was just, for me, I did say something like, you have always been an awesome mom. I love you. If there was anything wrong that I ever did, I'm sorry. And I did say, you never did anything wrong. Then I just held her hand. And she passed like a while later. I'm not sure how long. But I feel very badly because I wasn't talking to her. Like, I didn't know she was leaving. So when she did pass, it was such a shock. And I feel like I'm still in shock. And I crave connection. And it's there are times, very recently I had a dream that she was cuddling me in the bed. And then yesterday something beautiful happened where I was sitting here in her chair and I was kind of dozing off. But then she came to me and then I said, Mommy, do you hear me when I talk to you? Like, I talk to you so much. I ask you for forgiveness if I did anything wrong. I tell you I love you and I miss you. I don't know how to be in this world without you. And then she said, no. And I said, you don't hear me? And I started crying. And then she hugged me and she said, just kidding, just kidding. I do hear you. But then it was so beautiful, like it was her and I could feel her. So I just came out of dozing and I'm just craving that like every single day. If I could have that, I don't know how to make it happen again.
Well, it sounds like, first of all, you had an extremely beautiful relationship and that you took care of her and you can just feel the love coming from you, that everything you did for her. And you know that, and you're saying that you didn't say anything when you were holding her hand, but you were holding her hand and she felt that love. You know she felt that love. And I mean, you were connected to her. And a lot of times words aren't needed. You know, just you were there. Your energy was there. Your love was there. You were holding her hand. I mean, what more? Your mother, I'm sure, was grateful and thankful. And it was, I mean, I feel the love as you're talking. I'm like, oh my gosh. There's so much beauty here, and I feel like her coming through, you know, the thing is, yes, she passed a couple years ago, but you're in the moment now, and she's still coming through to you, and you just have to stay open. You don't, you know, like we were talking earlier about craving more and more and more. We just want it constantly, but instead, yeah, treasure those moments and live in those moments and be thankful for those moments and grateful. And be open and tell her, I am open when you want to come through next. You know, don't keep saying, I need you to come through and I need you to come through, because then you're not moving forward and you're not living. You have to continue.
I'm not living.
You know, and I mean, you know that you did everything you could for her. And you can just feel the love. I mean, she
but
was
I feel
so
like I could have done much
you.
More. I didn't do enough.
When it's our time, it's our time. I mean, the way I look at it, it's like you did what you could for her. You know, you can't, you know, give yourself trouble and say, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You did what you could for her. And you, you know, you were there for her and you were holding her hand when she transitioned. I mean, how beautiful of an experience that she was able to move on knowing you were there and that you were taking care of her. I mean, how beautiful is that? The loss, yes, is, you know, devastating. And your love for her, you know, you do, I'm sure you miss her. That's very obvious. We miss our loved ones. But yeah. Just stay open and be aware that she is already coming through to you. And how beautiful is that? And it's just in a new way. It's a different way. Not the way you'd want, but it is. This is the way it is. So you have to be open to that experience, that allow her to come through however she needs to come through for you.
Yes, and okay. And I would add also, when I think that don't devalue the love. The love is the most powerful language coming from the heart. It has the strongest frequency. You were sitting there giving the language of love every single second. Words were not needed. And that is so powerful and continuous. And, you know, I want to say, too, that don't be hard on yourself. I think that we often think of, I could have done more, I could have this, I could have that. The important thing is, your love was ample, it was vast. And that's all you need to think about. You gave that love. And she feels it. I mean, she was probably being overwhelmed by the language of love.
And the hand-holding.
And the hand-holding.
That energy is right.
Yeah,
that way,
and don't be hard on yourself. And there's another thing, too, when we were talking earlier about addiction, you know, we want it over and over again. Sometimes it's to have the memory to go back to the place when they were with you. After all, there's only now in the universe. And remember, and remembering actively like that makes it present, you know, and so that you can really... Sometimes we want to make demands, you know, on those on the other side. And I don't know, maybe it just doesn't always work. But I think that she is so present with you that if you could just live in those moments when she was loving you and you her so actively, that you the experience will transform you.
And trust that love was enough and that she knew the depth of it.
And
the fact that she received so much caregiving over the years and that she kept coming back against the odds.
And you were there with her.
That love made the difference.
That is the most powerful language that we are capable of.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes, I want to ask too, did she have a good sense of humor?
She
must have.
Because she says something, you answer, and then you say, can you hear me? And she says no.
she says no, and then I started crying, like I was getting upset because I talked to her so much, even out loud and in my mind, and she said no. And then I said, you don't hear me, and I started crying, and then she hugged me, and she said she was just kidding.
I'm hoping
it was for real, and it wasn't a dream. Like, I don't think I was dreaming. I wasn't asleep.
To do that is interesting, mm-hmm. because maybe she's just trying to sort of shake you a little bit and say, you know, like a joke. No, because of course she is.
She's responding.
Yeah. It's like kind of almost making
like,
you
come on.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe
your side here.
Like one of those, what's the phrase when you... talking about that humor, that blunt, that can kind of break the seriousness and the pain.
Yeah, shatter
that.
The focus is... extreme, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think that's
comic
really,
relief.
Comic relief, yeah. It's really important. Well, I think it's really, truly, I take deep breaths and just see yourself with her. And she's there. Because there's no way you can be disconnected from her. There's no way that happens. We now know through quantum physics that when two particles are connected, no matter where they are, they're still connected. And so it's the human being. You can't.
And she knows it also. Wherever she is, she knows that I'm there also.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, she can feel your love. So that love connects everything, you know, and she definitely feels that. And if she's coming through to you, and I like exactly what Kim said, she had to have a little bit of humor to kind of lighten it up a little bit for you, maybe, you know, to give you a little bit of relief there. And I think that that's important. And that's a really big tell is when that happens. And so I'm glad you caught that, Kim, because that's true. So that was really, I mean, I think that's really cool. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, you did have a wonderful relationship and that relationship continues. It's just, it's on a different level, you know, it's limitless.
Mm-hmm. Different level, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow. So much love there, you know?
So much sorrow.
And sorrow, yeah. You know, finding that balance, it's a tough one, you know, when there's so much going on. But, and that's the thing is our loved ones are around us and they are giving us signs. And, you know, instead of maybe questioning, and this is for anybody who's listening, you know, we all question. Don't get me wrong. I've done it many times. Like, did they really come through? Was that really them? But instead of doing that, what I've learned over the years is to just be like, thank you. I'm going to take that. I know you came through. And you know what? That opened the door and then they come through again. And then it opens the door and they keep coming through. And I think that that's what's really important is when we acknowledge it and we kind of understand that they're going to come through in their own way. We can't just expect them to come through just this way. I mean, they might do it just that way, but you also have to be open to different ways because some of us, we might see them or we might feel them. We might hear them. We might smell something that's like them. And, you know, and it's like it's important to be open and to just, you know, say thank you and be grateful for that, because then they hear us and they know that we got the message. You know, it's like, you know, if like I always say, if you ring the doorbell, if you don't answer, they're going to come back, you know? And so what you're doing is by saying thank you, you're letting them know, okay, I did hear it. I did get that message. I know you hugged me. Thank you. I'm going to be open for next time, whatever that may be, whenever it may be.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I think memory, we don't give it the credit it deserves. If we step into the memory of having been with them in intense moments, we do recreate it. You know,
right.
We recreate that.
It's I agree.
Taking us right back to the moment, which is always now. You know, that's something that the world of ordinary consciousness doesn't give credit to, that that is a real possibility.
Yeah, the temporal.
Yeah, the temporal
world.
It's
here and it's gone, right. And it's here and you see it or you don't.
Yeah, because remembering it is creating the images and allowing them to step into it, you know, that energy.
Right. Well, we're caught by the limits of our beliefs. And that's the thing is that we were raised a certain way that you believe this way and this may not happen, but then it does happen. And now all of a sudden everything's just blown apart. And you have to reevaluate everything and say, okay, you know what? They are here. They're still here. They're just in a different space. And, you know, they may not have their body, but they're still around us. And they still, you know, if we live in this moment, they're also living in this moment. So we shouldn't go backwards looking for them because they're right here with us now.
Very good putting it. And I think what you had said about, you know, the shattering moments sometimes open us up to that dimension that is right here. And I remember a saying, I was told it was a Chinese saying, may we be blessed with difficult times.
Mm, wow.
Mm-hmm.
May we be blessed with difficult times because it is those things which shake up the patterns, shatter the patterns, and help us to find
right
and newer patterns, newer ways of being in the world.
That's right. And it it does come down to kind of just surrendering. I don't know how else to say it, you know, but when you think about it, it's you're letting go. You're saying, okay, I know this happened. I accept this, that it happened, and I'm open to what next.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you for coming through. And it's sometimes it's painful, and, you know, love is, it comes, you know, mm-hmm. you know, death shows us that how painful it can be. But mm-hmm. I think there's also, when there's a moment like what Mercedes experienced with her mom and hugging her, there's so much value to that moment and that to remember that moment. And that can also help you move forward as well.
She got to hear her. She got to experience an embrace. And she got a laugh at some sort,
yeah.
even though it was coming through the tears.
Yes.
And yeah, it was a powerful,
interesting
experience. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that was like her mom thanking her because she helped her all those years and through all, everything that she was going through. And she held her hand until the end. And now she's coming back to say, you know what, I'm going to help you in whatever way I can help you, you know. And you know, it's not like they can be there every single moment, every day, but they can definitely come through, you know, and give
you that. And what more beautiful thing when we are old and ill to have someone with us all the time we're ill and take care of us and be there when we're dying. That is a powerful act.
There are no words for that.
There's no, way beyond words.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely heard all of it.
Sure.
It must be time.
Janet's ready.
Okay. We will end with the Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
And a thank you to Crystal and to Mercedes for calling in and sharing with all of us. And we welcome you to do so again next month. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.